Let me see. There, I got a red light now. So I guess I'm going. All right. We've been very fortunate. We've been able to make the trip this year. As most of you know, I know the preacher has kept up with a lot of our goings. And we've been kind of had some health issues the last few years and haven't been able to make the trip to Florida. I think it's been the third year. And I think you all will remember. Now, this is, you all need to understand, I know the church here, you probably got some new folks here. But most of you were around here when I called the pastor about 3 years ago and had to cancel. And it was his first year here, and it was going to be my first year at meeting. And we had to cancel, and we had some family issues at home. And we had made it all the way to South Louisiana. And that's what we normally did, was go to South Louisiana, and then we would head on down from there across into Mississippi and then on over to Florida, and had to call. And I think we put some things over the intercom here and just kind of shared my heart with you about some things that was going on at home. And I think most of you probably that were around here would remember that. And had some real major issues at home, and very troublesome time. We turned our rig around in South Louisiana and headed her home because I always promised my daughters. I don't have any daughters. I've got sons, but they're all daughters to me. And I always told my daughters, I said, "Now listen, you can tell me anything that you want to about my boys. Anything." I said, "Do not go to your daddy or your mama. You come to me because I can handle it." And I said, you always have a, and I said, "You boys can't tell me nothing about the girls. Won't listen to you." I said, that's as far as I'm concerned, they're perfect, and that's the way they'll stay. And so I've got three wonderful daughter-in-laws, but I know that you all remember the call from here, and we just kind of shared a heart. Now, you need to understand that this was privy pretty much to this bunch. There, even at our church, they don't know a lot of the things that was going on. And there was so much more to go on top of that. And all I want to say about that is just simply this. Now, I've raised my boys in the way that I think that they ought to have been raised. We always had dating standards. My boys didn't go single dating. Now, you can do what you want to, but teenagers don't have no brain. They need somebody to think for them. And I always had a part in their dating, and I had a part in who they dated. You say, "Did you pick the ones that they married?" No, I didn't. But I picked the pond they fished out of. You understand what I'm saying? And so I had three old boys, and all of them a little bit different. And all my boys was raised with standards and convictions, and I expected that out of my daughter-in-laws. And I've got three good ones. But I always had an open line. My daughters always had an open line with me. And some 3 years ago, when we were in South Louisiana getting ready to come on down here, I got the call. And Misty told me, said, "Brother Reggie, you always told me that if we ever had problems, I could call you." And she said, "We've got problems." Now, of all of my kids, Brother Jeff, whatever this recording goes, make sure it don't get back to them. But of all the three, those two were not heads. And they, you know, I mean, they were wonderful kids. But I knew early on that they had issues, but I kept my nose out of it and kind of held back. And that won't never happen again. See, if I see a problem in my family, now I might not be able to do anything about anything, but you can rest assured that the old gray hair is going to show up on your doorstep. But I will tell you this, as a tribute to the Lord, and I wouldn't even attempt to go into all the details, but I will tell you this, that Reuben and Misty are doing well.
Amen.
They are together. We have a brand new grandbaby.
Amen.
And he's how old, Debbie? He's 7 months old, and we have been blessed with God's healing hand. Now, what I want to do tonight, for just a little short while, I'm not going to keep you long, because we do have to beat the Pentecostals down at Chicken House, and they may have started about the same time we do, so we got to move on. But I do want to give you just a couple of three things. Now, I told you that I'm a learner, and there are going to be times, from time to time, when the difficulties and the disappointments of life come your way. And some folks make it out of it, and some folks don't. And it just really depends. I've learned just a few little things that might be able to help you. Now, I want you to take your Bibles tonight. I'm not going to give you, I've got a message on this, and I don't really have time to give you the message tonight. But I do want you to go take your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 36, if you will. Now, what I want to do here, you know, you've heard, you know, some of these smart alecks get up from time to time, and they'll find somebody that probably really don't know the difference, and they'll tell them, well, turn to the book of Hezekiah. Well, ain't no book Hezekiah. And so they'll try to get you that way. Well, the fact of the matter is, if there could have ever been a written book named Hezekiah, it could have been Isaiah chapter 36 through 39. Because it talks about Hezekiah. And God knew that what Hezekiah really needed was he needed somebody along to tell the whole truth of the matter. Now, let me say this. Let me just give you the story in kind of a synopsis here and let you kind of glean from what's happened. Now, you need to understand that Hezekiah was a good king. He came on the throne and he did right as in the eyes of the Lord, like his great-grandfather David. And he did things right. He got rid of the idols. He got rid of the groves. He brought the vessels back into the house of God. He restored worship where it ought to be, which is in the house of God. You can't worship out on the lake. I'm sorry. I used to use that one myself. I played that card many times, and Brother Riggs would say, don't come in here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and think you got your altar out on the water. You know, that's not going to happen. You can't carry your altar down to the Deer Woods. You need to be in church and on Sunday, and you need to be faithful. And this is the house of God. This is the appointed place. And so that's what Hezekiah did. He brought back all the vessels in, and he reestablished the house of God and the worship and all like that. And he was a good man. Now, he didn't have a good daddy. His daddy was a rotten egg. And his daddy brought in idols, and his daddy was an idol worshiper, and had the groves, and had all these things, and took the vessels out of the temple of God, and he was a rotten egg. And so how did Hezekiah turn out the way he did? Well, I heard a story one time, preacher, and I thought it was pretty appropriate. There's a couple of brothers that they were interviewing, and they got these guys together, and one of them was a doctor. He was a doctor of medicine and very prominent and very respected and all like that. His brother was a twin brother, kind of like Brother Stewart back there, and he was a drunk. Now, I'm not saying Brother Stewart's a drunk, but he was a drunk and just a low life. And they got these guys on one of these, you know, these reality shows, whatever they are. I don't watch them. Phil don't know nothing. I don't even watch him. He makes me mad. Everybody makes me mad. That's why I am what I am, I guess. Everybody irritates me just a little bit. So they got these two guys on there, and they began to interview them. And they asked this one guy, this drunk, said, "Why? How in the world?" Said, "Your brother here, he's a doctor. He's a prominent man. He's wealthy. He's got prestige. All like that. And you're a drunk and a dopehead. And how did that happen?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you how that." He said, "My daddy was a drunk." And he said he was dope. He was a dopehead. And he said, and he'd come home at night, he'd beat my mama. And he said, "Us kids, we never had nothing. We had to run and hide." And he said, "That's what I grew up in. He beat us." And he said, "That's the kind of life that I was raised in." He said, "What do you expect me to be?" And I turned around to the brother and I said, "Well, what about you? I mean, you're a doctor. You've reached a place that you're well respected and all like that." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what." He said, "'Cause my daddy was a drunk, and he said he was a dopehead, and he beat my mama and he beat us every night. And he said we never had no money. We had to do without and everything like that. And that's the kind of life I grew up in." Same answer, wasn't it? But a different perspective.
Yeah, amen.
You understand what I'm saying? Now here's old Hezekiah. He was raised around godlessness. But he had a heritage. He had a grandfather here that was something special. And old Hezekiah come in and he began to restore all this and began to restore the worship and everything. Now let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Every time you start to do something right, don't expect everything to just go hunky-dory.
Amen.
You understand? Now I'm going to give you a couple, three things. I'm going to tell you this little story about old Hezekiah. There were three things that happened to old Hezekiah after he ascended the throne and began to do these things that were right in God's eyes. And those three things was this. Some things happened to him. And what I find out, preacher, by reading this thing in context, I just sat down one night and read the whole story. I thought it was pretty good stuff. Is that all these things began to happen all at once. Is that kind of the way it happens with you when things go wrong? Is that it seems like it's just... Hey, listen, last January, I was laid up in a hospital. I went in December, Debbie and I were sitting, and I couldn't stay warm. I was getting sicker by the day. And it was the second year, I guess, that I had to cancel. And they put me in the hospital. Well, I actually checked into the hospital. And I went in there. I told her, I said, "Debbie, I said, I'm dying." I said, I cannot remember how long it has been since I've said, "Zippity doo dah, zippity a, boy, what a wonderful day." I can't remember how long it's been since I felt good. And I'm getting sicker and sicker. And finally, I checked myself in, and I was in complete kidney failure. My creatinine, for any of you that know what creatinine is, was 8.7. All functions had stopped. And so they put me in there, and of course, you know how the doctors are. They're like a bunch of vultures. One of them's trying to see which one can feast on you, and so they're all fighting over you, you know. One of them saying, "Well, it's his heart." The other one said, "No, it ain't his heart, it's his kidneys." Another one saying, "He's got lung problems. I'm telling you what the problem, he's got cancer or something." So I'm just telling you that I was in bad shape. But during that time, preacher, I'll say this, I never asked the Lord for healing. But what I did ask Him for was a touch. Old Brother Squire Parsons wrote a song just about that same time. He had been real sick with cancer and all like that. Any of you know Squire Parsons is the guy that wrote Sweet Beulah Land and hundreds of other songs. And Brother Squire said that basically the same thing had happened to him, and he asked the Lord for a touch. And that's what I asked the Lord for. Here's what the Lord told me. He said, Reggie, I said, tell you what I'm going to give you. He said, did he speak audibly? No, he does a lot better job than that. But here's what he said, Reggie, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you my word. And you're going to get my word, and you're going to find what you need. And preacher, he gave me the touch. And Brother Squire wrote a song about it, He's Still Here. And what a wonderful song, boy, it ministered to my heart. Now, here's all I'm trying to say is, Hezekiah comes here. First thing happens to him is there's a guy by the name of Sennacherib show up. He shows up, and he and this old boy by the name of Sennacherib, he's a right arm to the king of Assyria, whose name is Rabshakeh. That's a couple of mouthfuls, isn't it? And here's what he's saying. He's saying, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm coming into your land, and I'm going to annihilate you. He said, matter of fact, he said, if you think you've got any confidences, and he began to attack their confidences. He says, you got allies? He said, well, they're like a... He said, that bunch of... over there by the Pharaoh, he said, they're like a reed. He said, we've stomped them, we'll stomp you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. And he says, not only on top of that, he said, if you think it's your God that's going to save you, Israel. He says, why? He says, you've got a king that did away with all your places of worship and made you come to this one place. Now, did he do right? Yes, he did right by doing all that. Brought him back into the house of God. And he was trying to do what was right in God's eyes. But the fact of the matter is, here's this guy threatening. He said, we've destroyed this country and this country and this country and this country, and you're next. Well, I'm going to tell you what. That's a disturbing thing to hear. When you're not a mighty kingdom, as Hezekiah was. Hezekiah was a peaceful king. And then the next thing that happens, and I find this out, preacher, that just during that time, that not only did he find this adversity that came in, he got hit with afflictions. The whole old prophet come to him and said, you're fixing to die. It's over. And here he is, God, you talk about stress. He's got all this stuff coming in on him. And now then, on top of all of that, he's got physical ailments that is afflictions that is destroying him. And so he goes to the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord gives him... Now this was right and proper, as I read some commentaries and things, for him to behave in this way. He said, Lord, this is what I've done. Don't I deserve something? And the Lord heard his prayer, and the Lord added to him 15 years. Now let me say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. During that 15 years that he got that he shouldn't have had, are you listening? One of the most evil kings that was ever born was born to him. And was a horrible king, and brought everything back that Hezekiah took out. The last thing that the devil used, and then I'm going to give you these two or three little things and we're done for tonight. The last thing that the devil used was, you see, God fought the battles for Hezekiah. God told Hezekiah, said, he won't even fire an arrow in here. He said, I'm going to send a delusion. And he said, you don't have to worry about him. Now, you're talking about a guy that everybody around he has annihilated. He's a bad dude. Huh? I like what old Brother Pope says, a rude dude with a bad mood. Huh? Here he is. God said, I'm gonna take care of that. You don't have to worry about that. And he said, not only that, I'm going to add to you 15 years. But here's the thing. Now, you got to understand that Hezekiah was an humble man. And he had good convictions. And he had things that he believed in. And certainly he was not a prideful man. He just wanted to do what God wanted him to do. But you know what ended up getting him? The very thing that was his long suit. You listening to me tonight? The very thing that Hezekiah really would have been, you would have said, you know, all of us got short trees and tall trees. Everybody does. And you know, we as independent fundamental Baptists, we're real good at getting up on a tree limb on our tall tree and looking down to everybody else's short trees and saying, yeah, thank God I'm not like them. Huh?
That's good.
Huh? Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if we'd get on down there where our short trees are, we'd keep our mouth shut most of the time.
Amen.
See? But here's old Hezekiah, and the very thing that is his long suit gets him. Here he is. The enemy has been destroyed. He's been recovered of this illness, and there's some folks in the Far East that's heard about it. And you know what? Just like most fundamentalists, well, they've done this and done that, and so instead of them going ahead and building their church, what they do is they get out on the circuit and start telling everybody else how to do it the way they did it. Sometimes that don't work. You understand? You got to be you. Okay, my twin back there, he's Brother Stuart. I'm Brother Reggie. I have to be Brother Reggie. Brother Reggie can't be Jack House. Brother Reggie can't be Glenn Riggs. Brother Reggie has to be Brother Reggie and do what Brother Reggie does. Now, but here's old Hezekiah, and what he does, he has a strict command to not have nothing to do with them guys. But you know what he does? They come in and bring him gifts, and they say, you know what? We've heard about your healing from way over there. And we've heard about how that this guy named Rabshakeh was destroyed. And listen, we want to know, we're from Babylon. We want to know just exactly how you did this. What's the deal? And you know what he did? He opened up his palace and he showed them everything that he had. All of his treasuries, all of everything. His pride got in the way, didn't it? And do you know what? It doesn't matter who you are here tonight and where your tall tree may be. You need to understand that for you, the devil knows where your little weakness is. And he'll try once, and he'll try again. And sooner or later, you see, he is relentless in what he tries to do. And he finally got him. And here's the good king that Isaiah has to come back to and say, what have you done? He said, they sent dignitaries over here. They wanted to see how we did it. They wanted to see the treasure. They wanted to see how God had blessed us and here in Israel. And I told them about all of this. And he said, yeah. He said, but that's what God told you not to do. And he says, for this reason, he said, your sons and your daughters will be carried off into captivity. And he said, the kingdom will be lost. And it wasn't just him. It was generations of people using their stiff neck to go against God. And yet judgment day came. Now, folks, as I told you earlier, I have, one of my long suits have always been, if, you know, I'm a chiefest of sinners. And I don't claim to be anything that I'm not, other than I'm thankful that I'm saved and that God called me into ministry, and I'm thankful I have an opportunity to serve Him. But the very best that I can do is like a filthy rag to God. But if there was ever a long suit that I had when the devil would come pestering me, preacher, here's what I would say. I may not be worth much, but you see that bunch of redheads over there? That group that I call my three sons and my daughters and my nine grandchildren? I said, you see all that? You'll never touch them. Because they've been brought up right. They know the things of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my strong suit became my weak one. And the devil kept knocking and kept beating and kept prying and kept working until he got into my family, and he almost destroyed it. I'm talking about brothers that wouldn't even talk to one of the boys. I'm talking about things. I'm talking about 2 years of walking eggshells. And now here's the three things that I learned. I'm going to give them to you real quick. First of all, I learned to pray. Now you say that's real, that's pretty simplified. Yeah, I know it is. But you need to understand there are several kinds of prayer. And the first thing that I did, because I figured, hey, I've read the Bible, I know how this deal works. There's a lot of problems out here right now, but old Dad is gonna fast and pray. And I did. And for an unhealthy diabetic, that's not a good thing to do. But for 11 days, I didn't eat. I didn't do nothing. I just prayed. But the answer didn't quite come. He said not only for we were to be that, but it ought to be a prayer of confession. See. Confess your faults one to another and pray one to another that ye may be healed. And the effectual, now listen to this, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I became fervent in my prayer. There wasn't a day. There was tears that was wept. There was nights sitting up all night long praying for my children. God, you got to do something. You just got to do something. This thing has got out of hand. There's prayer without ceasing. It ain't just get up in the morning and say, you little old piddly, God bless the day and God bless food. Thank you for it. Bless children. It becomes a thing of never ceasing.
That's good. Amen.
And for 2 years, I was on my knees and my wife, and we were praying for our children. Now you need to understand, this boy that I'm talking about is not a bad boy. He's my best buddy. He's my right arm. When I need anything done, he's the one to call. He is one of the most pleasant young men you'd ever want to meet. But he had problems at home. And when I saw him, I didn't address him for fear of stirring things up. I will tell you this. Little Misty let me be her daddy for the past. And I've counseled a lot of people down through the years, preacher, but never one like my own. And I learned so much through this that, bless their hearts, I don't know how they made it as long as they made it. There were major, major issues. Now, if you're a parent here tonight or a grandparent, you say, well, my kids don't let me in. You pray. and you do what you can. Now let me give you the next thing. I'm trying to hurry, but I want to give you something that may be helping that. Or you say, well, I ain't never been through that, never going through it. I wouldn't count on it. You need to understand that I raised my family in church, and I raised my boys to have godly standards, and they were virgins when they went to the altar, and so were their wives. That don't happen automatically. We had standards of conduct that we kept. Say, well, you don't know that happened. Well, I'm pretty sure. Because a lot of times they had to date with me and Mama. And I love that because they had to pay. I love getting them to pay for a change. Now let me give you this other thing, because this is a real critical one. Hezekiah in this place could have just decided to cave to Sennacherib. He could have said, okay, look, if you'll let us leave peacefully, just come on in. We'll serve your gods. We'll do whatever you want to. Just let us live. Let us live peacefully. But there was something about Hezekiah that he said, no, we're not going to do that. And here's the second thing I want to give you. Never move from the things, godly things that you have been taught and you have established in your life as the Word of God and that gives us directions. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. Don't ever move from that. Now, preacher, here's what I've seen happen. People get in trouble like what we did, and the first thing they want to do is, well, you know what? All them standards and conviction that we grew up with, I was too rough on them. I was just too mean. Hog waller. What's right is what's right.
Amen.
And there's one thing that my son knew. Now y'all listen to me now. One thing that he knew was that there was never going to be no fellowship with nobody else. You listen? If it would have even mean me not having fellowship with my own son, that would have been the case. Now, I didn't want that. But there wasn't going to be fellowship with another woman. That just wasn't going to happen. And not only that, none of our standards and our convictions was going to change. Right still right, wrong still wrong.
Amen.
They've been there many a time that I've sat across the table from him and I've chewed him up one side and down the other, and he said, you made me so mad. You made me so mad. Just the way you said it. I said, yeah, problem was, is the truth. And here's what a lot of people does. The adversity comes and the first thing they want to do is cave. All that stuff that we was raised up believing, all that stuff don't work. Yeah, it does work. It does work.
That's right.
And you must stay. You must stay by biblical principles that brought you here. I believe this Bible. Believe it's inerrant, infallible, inspired, preserved. I don't care what some of the theologues say, and I don't care what some of our independent brethren say. I believe this is the deal. And this is to instruct me, not me instruct it. And then lastly, let me give you this. Stay by the stuff. Stick by what you believe. And then the last thing, and this is real simple, and I can't even give you, I haven't even developed it enough to give you some scripture, but I will tell you this. I do know that when the time came and when the adversity had come and when the affliction had come and all like that, this King Hezekiah did one thing. He realized that all of this was out of his hands. Now, folks, let me tell you this. I prayed, I fasted, I begged, I pleaded, I counseled. I did everything I knew to do. And I know y'all don't know me as well as you think you do. But here's always been my way of working things. As long as Brother Reggie can handle it, it's going to get handled. Y'all listen? If it's within my power to turn this thing around, if it's within my power to screw the nut down tight enough to get it going my way again, I'm going to do it. I don't care if it upsets everybody. But when you get to the place, preacher, when you've prayed and you've fasted and you've done everything that you know to do, and all of a sudden something else pops up, just about the time we'd think we were on the road to doing things right, it seems like something else would come up and just blow everything right out of the water. And after a while, it was like the Holy Spirit of God said to me, "How you doing with this, Reggie?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You handling it pretty good?" And I had to say, "No, sir. I ain't handling it at all. I've asked you to handle it." And you know what I had to do? I had to do just what Hezekiah did. He said that when he brought his petition and he spread it before the Lord.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know when our family finally began to get healing, preacher? Is when Reggie gave up and said, "It's yours." Now, I don't believe in divorce. Now, if you've been through one, you understand that next to death, it's the hardest thing you ever went through in your life. But it's not God's plan. And I said, "But Lord, if this couple makes it, it's out of my hands. It's all up to you. And I'm going to trust you. I can't do it anymore. I've counseled enough over and over and over and over and over again. I've prayed. I've done everything I know to do. Now I'm spreading it before you." And you know what he did? He picked it up. Now I've got a young lady now whose name is Misty. And I've got a young man who's my son, and his name is Reuben. And they are happy. And there is a brand new baby named Lachlan that would have never been born yet through this adversity. And we're thankful for him.
Amen.
Now, God has allowed us to still travel. I thought a year ago, I was done for. Dialysis. Wasn't going to be going nowhere doing anything. And God has allowed me to bounce back for some reason. And I'm still here. I'm still singing. I'm still preaching. And your church is a part of our ministry and have had for years and years and years. And I thank you for that. You continue to pray for us and pray for our family. The devil's not through with us. And I'm going to tell you one thing that I've learned through this little situation is that I don't trust nothing anymore in that respect. You better not be relying on your long suit. You better watch those areas. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the tenderness of the folks tonight. What a wonderful time to be able to come and Lord, be with our friends, meet the new preacher and the guests that were here tonight. Now, Lord, I don't know what, Lord, you can use in all of this. There might even be someone here tonight that's been playing phony baloney, and they don't even they've got everybody fooled. They think everybody thinks they're saved, but really they're not, and they know they're not. And if they're like that tonight, here in just a minute, we're going to give a grand opportunity for them to come and repent and get born again and get right with God. Now, I pray for the Holy Spirit's power tonight that they would speak individually to each man and woman and boy and girl. And, Lord, draw them to yourself. If there's one here that's looking for a church home, they found it. This is a good place, fundamental, Bible-believing, and Lord, we pray that that you'd bless in that. And then if there's one that has not been baptized since they've got saved, I said since they got saved, well then they need to take care of that. And so, Lord, all of those things is in your hand tonight, and we pray that you bless in these minutes that we have as the preacher comes. Thank you. We'll pray and ask for your power in Jesus' name. Preacher, you come.
Let our music begin to play. This is the center of being will. But really, it's Sunday. We have to stand in line while Christ is gone. But Rudolph gave us what a great bill of advice he gave us. We want to do these things that are hard.
Trust you to take care of all the things that are going on in our lives, whether it's good or bad, dear Father. Lord, we just ask that you watch over us and go our separate ways and just keep us safe, Lord. Help us to be mindful of the obedience of your Son. Lord, help us to be in our places for the next 25, Lord. Pray that you worship you in spirit.
Tomorrow. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Get this stuff put up or I'll forget it, as usual. Well, I got some CDs over there. Yes, sir? Yes, sir? Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're an equal opportunity. You just hate everybody.
That's me. That's me. I don't leave no leaf unturned.
Hey, does it feel weird to go to a town that's thousands of miles away from your house and see another guy look like
you? Oh, I know it. That's a shock.
I had a guy walk up to me and go, Dave, he goes, have you got a brother? And I was going, Lord, I hope not. He said, there's a guy that looks just like you but got a longer beard. And I said, oh, Lord, I hope not. I hope he don't look just like me.
You know, about 3 weeks ago, here, preacher, I don't know how to turn that thing off.
Thank you.
Here about